The first thing I want to do is just thank the ladies that made this night special, and that takes a lot of work to decorate this big room, and thank you, Leanne, and I don't want to start naming names, but the decorations are so pretty. I love them, and I just so appreciate all of you. How cool, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, a day late. What a blessing to celebrate God's gift of grandmas with all of you ladies. Paul, writing to Timothy, reminds him of his wonderful heritage from his grandma, Lois, and mother Eunice, who loved the Lord and taught him from a young age to be a man who loved God. What a rich heritage we represent at this church. I will share my testimony and then about being a pastor's wife, a mother, a friend, and a grandma. That's the fun part. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. With loving Christian parents, I remember as a young child seeing my dad and mom reading their Bible on the back porch. They wanted to teach us about God. We always had dinner together, and Dad would read a devotional to us around the table. My grandparents lived right next door, and before school, my little sister Carol and I would run over, grab a biscuit, and run back and then get ready for school. I had older twin sisters, Susan and Lynn, and a brother, Mark, and my youngest sister, like I just said, was Carol. And we have stayed close. We call each other like every week. My parents became Christians in their 20s, and neither of them grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with lots of love, discipline, and fun. Going to the beach, cookouts, camping, fishing, we lived across the street from a tennis court and a recreation, so just tons of fun. We went to a Presbyterian church every Sunday that my dad helped build. He was an elder at that church. We would pack our family into this Rambler, and then there was four neighborhood kids that we took every Sunday. And their parents weren't saved, and I think they just wanted to get rid of the kids for the Sunday. And then we would pack everybody into that little Rambler and go to church. I was involved in youth group and Bible studies. And the service consisted of singing hymns and a short gospel message. And then afterwards, lots of fellowship. And then we'd always drive home to this little box of a place and get Rocky Road ice cream, and that's my favorite to this day. But we did that every Sunday. My dad was a quiet, hardworking newspaper man who loved his family. I loved going fishing with him every Saturday morning. He also loved my mom, and he's the one who taught me to love God, love my coffee, and read my Bible at the same time. He did that too. I loved singing hymns with my mom. Some of you knew my mom, and she was just a cool, cool lady. And I loved singing hymns with her in the car while we went to do errands. And we did that every single time. We just break out in singing. My mom was the life of the party. People loved her. She was kind to strangers and talked to everyone. We would play cards after dinner and go play tennis. She was not a very good housekeeper. In fact, it was a mess. But all the kids came to our house to play, and she was always feeding people. I always remember whoever in our home. As she fed them, she was very kind. And at the end of her life, oh, I cry really easy. I don't mean that I'm really sad, but when I just think of my mom, When she was at the end of her life, she couldn't hardly see. Her eyesight was really going, and so when I would fly to Florida to be with her, all she ever wanted me to do is go on the back porch and read the Bible. And sometimes, thank you, I would read the Bible to her for a couple hours. It was very, very special. Sadly, I'm not sure if some of my siblings accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. Why God chooses any of us is truly His gift of grace and mercy. Psalms 31, 1 through 5. In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me. Incline Your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. For Your sake, You will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For You are my strength. Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. I would just like to take this time to say that all of us have family members who have heard the gospel presentation. They know it. They know they're sinners. And it is only by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because He died on the cross to pay for those sins, that we can be His children. But some reject Him. Or some say they're Christians, but they don't live for Him. I'm sorry. And some have accepted His free gift of eternal life. If you are one of those who have heard the truth, seen it lived out in front of you, but still reject Him, what are you waiting for? Let tonight be the day that you fall in love with Him, our loving God, and tonight commit to living for Him. I mentioned that I have a brother, Mark. He left our house when he turned 18. And he rejected the truth that he was taught, and he died an alcoholic at the age of 57. Please do not reject the God who loves you so much that He died for you. Ask yourself, how is it working with living for yourself? Do you know God brings hope, peace, security in Him alone? Now I will share how the Lord drew me to Himself. On the very first day of Miami Christian College, just 30 minutes from my home, I was attending my very first class. It was an Old Testament survey class, and Rev Settlers was the teacher. He was just giving an overview of what we were going to learn in that class. And so the class was over, and all the kids were going to their next class, and I just sat glued in my seat. And he came over, and I just cried like a baby, and he goes, What's wrong? He didn't know me. He goes, what's going on? And I just said, I didn't know you could be taught God's word. And I grew up just hearing the gospel. And I loved God at a very young age, but it just all came together. And so I had head knowledge, but I didn't have heart knowledge. And going to that school changed my life. So then, I'm sorry, I keep losing my place. Sorry. Okay. I was excited to learn more. I loved God. He's my Savior. But from that day on, I fell in love with His Word. And I knew that His Word would bring me closer to Him. The next semester, a very handsome young man came on campus. I He had gotten saved the summer before. His name was John Zimmer. He asked me if I would like to listen to John MacArthur tapes together. And, no, seriously, we didn't like each other at the time. And so what was funny about that is we would go into this piano practicing place, and it was just a little room that closed the door, so everybody thought we were making out. But we weren't. We were listening to God's Word every single day. And then I wanted to make out with him. Okay. So, anyways, that was a cool time for both of us, because both of us were just hungry to be taught God's Word. And we fell in love and were married the summer of 1979, almost 36 years ago. John's very first sermon was to me. Because I was a Presbyterian, I was sprinkled. Well, we were engaged, and he wasn't going to have anything of that. And so we went to his grandma's, and I thought we were going to have a great time with his grandma. And he sat me down for 3 hours. Just me. Teaching a sermon to me. And finally, I just said, "Hey, I get it. Let's go get baptized." So we were baptized a month later. As John finished his senior year, I worked as a bank teller. In the summer of 1980, we said goodbye to my parents and family, and we moved to L.A., where John MacArthur's church was and the seminary. And so he attended seminary, and we went to his church. Big church. I came from a teeny tiny church.
We got married though, right?
Yeah, we got married. Oh, you missed that. We got married in 1979, 37 years, 36 years ago. When we got to that church, you guys, we were just kindergartners spiritually. And being in, under the Word and John MacArthur's leadership, we started to grow. And right away, we wanted to find godly people to help us raise a godly family. And so we just observed whose kids were great. And then we became the parents' friends. That's how we did it. And Sarah was born in 1981 as John was going to school and working as a custodian at the church. Now, the church was 10,000 people, so that was lots of toilets to clean and rooms to clean. And shortly after that, they made him head custodian. And then in, they asked him to be the pastor on staff in 1984. Susie was born a year later, and John was pastor to the young marrieds group called Marriage Builders. He also taught premarital class, and that he wrote that class, so that was pretty cool. And he married tons of people during those days. From Marriage Builders came some of our closest friends. And there's a book over there and that Marriage Builders gave us right before we came here. So you could just flip through there because it has the pictures of the kids and the age they were right as we got here. David was born 2 years after Susie. Those years were busy bringing up three small children. Without family living near us, John's parents were in New Jersey and my folks were in Florida. We adopted aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas from our church family to love on our kids. God was so kind to bring a godly lady named Mary Barshaw into my life. She taught me how to love God first, my husband second, and my children third. We were involved in a church that taught God's Word, and we were to obey it and to teach it to our children. Stephanie, our youngest, was born shortly after we came here, 22 years ago. I would like to share some different roles I have learned being a pastor's wife, mother, friend, and a grandma. Oh, I love that one. Okay. The first Sunday at this church, I remember sitting on the very front row, and I remember thinking, God, this is your church, your bride. John and I are so weak. We need your strength, wisdom, and graciousness. Only you build a church. Help us to be humble and faithful. So now I'd like to share about being a pastor's wife. My verse for that is Psalms 138, 1 and 2. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For I have magnified your word according to all your name. I am blessed to be a part of a team of elders and pastor's wives who love their husbands, who support them 100%. Not one of them want to be in the spotlight. I love them dearly. We are family. Today, my car was broken, and John Williams, on his day off, and my hubby fixed my car. And that's just... it's just so cool, you guys, to be a part of a family who loves each other and will sacrifice even on his day off. And John Williams has done that a ton in our family. My children love this church. They love to be here to worship with all of you. They know you love our family. You love their dad and mom. I personally want to thank each one of you for loving my family and praying for us. My time with my husband is shared with lots of different people. Even if he is home, there are those who need John, even if it's in the middle of the night, a call for counseling, prayer, or help. He belongs to God, just like all of our husbands do. I have learned to love God more than him so that I can hold him loosely in my hands. Churchgoers have caused us the greatest joy and the greatest pain, but God has used both to refine us to love him even more. I have a heart for discipleship. I love to be discipled, and I love to disciple. And I have been involved in the women's Bible study, which here at this church, which is such a privilege. On Sunday, John is my pastor, and on the rest of the week, he's my hubby. I really look at it that way. What a blessing to fall under the heritage of Jeannie Marzoff and her husband. We are so blessed to have her as our number one prayer warrior. And just that support, Jeannie, means so much to us. I've told you that a million times, and it does.
I praise God for the privilege.
Thank you, Jeannie. I love reading God's Word, and I love being taught God's Word. Okay, our children. Psalms 127, 1 through 3. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Our children have given us many opportunities to humble us. We all have nicknames in our family. John and I are best and best, which means the best and the best. A little proudful, huh? Sarah's name is Bunk, and Susie's Snoozer. Jonathan is Poe. And David is Budlow, and Julie is Jules. Stephanie is my Frito Bandito. If I could give you one piece of advice as a mom, it would be to let God break your pride in parenting. It is only by God's grace that our children are all walking with our precious Savior. John and I made many mistakes, but his grace covered them all. Be humble. Ask for forgiveness when you are wrong. My Sarah, our firstborn, she holds her family together in so many ways. We all depend on her one way or the other. She is quiet and thoughtful. She loves people but needs to be quiet and reflective too. She has worked for an accounting firm for 9 years as their office manager. She is a leader in our high school youth ministry. She is my best friend other than my hubby. Susie, our second child. Susie is very funny, but very giving. She is a great wife and mom. She is married to Jonathan, who is an LAPD police officer. More importantly, a great husband and loving dad. Susie is a choir director at a Christian school, and she's a pianist at Santa Clarita Church. They have our two grandbabies, Penny 5 and Dallas 2. David, our only son. David is loving, kind, and sensitive. He is married to Julie, who is beautiful inside and out, and so loving to John and I. David is a musician, talented on drums, piano, guitar, and songwriting. They live in LA. Julie teaches elementary Spanish at a Christian school. Just a side note about David. During high school, I backed out of that role of being his mama, still his mama, but I wanted John to take over. And it was really important for us that he became a man under John. And I wanted John's influence on him and his wisdom in David's life. Stephanie, our youngest, is very kind and sensitive too, very funny, and is excellent in her craft. She lives in LA and is attending Paul Mitchell Herod Makeup. It's the top school in the country, and she just became the president of student council. And all of us who know Steph, that's just amazing. I asked our children to give us some examples of what is negative and positive of what we did, and I've asked my Sarah to read their answers.
We should have really taken you up on that, because that'd be quite humorous. We were nice, though, because it's Mother's Day and all. So what we want you to know, well, I'm sure now that we've been here for how many years, forever, that we're not perfect. I mean, good grief. We're crazy. And if you follow my sister on Facebook, you will see that craziness in full display. But like it's already been mentioned, you know, it's only God's graciousness. What you might not know is, well, because I'm what? I figured out I graduated from college 10 years ago. Man, I'm too old now. But when I was in elementary school and high school, I was a frequent visitor to the principal's office for failing out of school, all of those things, but it's only God's graciousness. It's not, you know, we're only saved by God's grace. We're only walking with the Lord from God's grace. It's not anything that has to do with my parents' parenting. I mean, I hope that that is evident. I know that there are my own friends who I grew up with in this church who aren't walking with the Lord, and that is not evident of their parents. It's them and who God saves, and so it's all God's grace. But I wanted to give you some observations from our household. Like I said, I didn't totally take up on the negative side, but David said he loved that my parents taught us the importance of the church, and we all grew up watching Mom with her Bible open and the house vacuumed. My mother loves to vacuum. When we were children, we couldn't walk in the living room because of the vacuum lines. Seriously, we're allowed to go in there now, which is nice. But what he loved most, too, is that we were trained to be flexible, you know, because of my dad's ministry to others, which was mentioned earlier. We were always shipped off to multiple people's homes and And they got to practice their child raising on us. Jonna said that you should probably ask my mom about her pie recipe. Jonna's favorite thing is my mother's pie. And so that's what his advice was. Steph's advice or little observation was that we weren't completely sheltered from the world. We were given lots of different opportunities, but they were always through a Christian worldview. So we were able to go to concerts and lots of experiences, but always through that Christian worldview. To not fear the world, but to not be a part of it, but to get to experience multiple different things. Jules said that while she wasn't raised by my parents, obviously, because that'd be weird, the one thing that she loves about her family is that we try to be honest and open with one another about our weaknesses, which is just super fun, you know? But it takes practice and it takes work, as you know, I'm sure. And it didn't come just from us kids, but it's also my parents, too, are open and honest about their failures, and they're right in front of us. And Sue's had a lot more to say because she's, you know, well-versed in words. she had gave some negatives, of course. I did not give any negatives. She said I was her best friend, but what she didn't say is that I am the favorite child. Suze did say that, and I do agree with her here, that she wished my parents would have disciplined us more for our laziness, because my mother is a hard worker. We call her the worker bee, and we love to let her work. And she can just work as just much as she wants. And so maybe disciplining more for our laziness would have gone over well. And then another thing was more of a asking more, I'm missing my word here that I'm looking for, invasive questions, like when we're dealing with sin. My parents were faithful to point us to the Word, but they are also trusting us to repent from our sin and to follow what we knew was true, but maybe asking some more of those hard questions. Now, what those questions would have been, it's tough. How do you, you know, so that's not all of their fault, but asking more invasive questions when you know your child is going through a difficult time. Some positives, which there were a lot, because we did grow up in a great, great house. Not a perfect house, but a great house. We all turned out weird and good, I think. is that they listened to us at every opportunity, no matter how much we messed up, no matter how crazy we were, or how many times we failed the math exam again. They always listened, took every time to care about us. I think my mother is probably the only person who cares about everything that we had to say. My dad's like, yep. Go find your mom. Mom cares about all that stuff. She consistently modeled somebody who serves her family and husband. Yeah, I get the serves because, yeah, she serves a lot, and we appreciated the serving. let me see. And she was always fun and available for anything. She can't recall a single time where we went to her and she never turned you down for fun. It was always fun, the things that she would come up with for us to do together. She also, and so did my dad, forgave us quickly and easily, and that's going back to maybe sometimes too trusting, but we always knew that when we would wake up in the morning, she loved us with all her heart. The most important thing to Suze and to I and the rest of us, Zimmer siblings, was that we were not their number one priority, maybe not even number two, but it's the most important thing that she wants to model in her parenting, because they didn't fight our battles for us. Like I said, there were multiple conversations with teachers and maybe the principal and all that, and they didn't fight our battles for us. They showed us what the Word of God said about what we did. They didn't necessarily always take our side either. They sided with the Word of God and then taught us biblically through it. A lot of kids these days think the world revolves around them. I like to think the world revolves around me, but it doesn't. And then some of my thoughts was, I was an English major. Yeah. 10 years ago, remember? You know, we're always used to seeing my mom read her Bible. What mattered to me more was her living it out. And then her quickness to apologize or to fix it when her life didn't match up to the Word. Because we can read the Bible all day long, but if our lives don't match up and we're prideful, it's worthless. I also appreciated that in our house, real emotions were allowed. We tried not to be fake. You know, sometimes there's yelling. Sometimes there's hurt feelings. It just happens. And we could learn through those life situations, and we were trained on how to deal biblically with those. You know, when I was little, there was a lot of hugging and saying you're sorry for hitting your sibling, when all you wanted to do was smack him one more time. You had to hug him and say you were sorry, which I guess worked out in the end because we're all friends. And not only did we have to apologize to one another, but my parents apologized to us, which was cool because they weren't fake about it. They're not perfect, and they would apologize when they were wrong, and that's something that we really valued. It also helped to cement that Christ is the only one who has all the answers. They never pretended to have all the answers. They talked with us openly about asking for advice from others and not being wise in our own eyes. One major thing that I learned from my mother is that you can't place all your hope and happiness in people, which is good because I'm glad she doesn't place that in me because I mess up all the time. But you should only place your sufficiency in Christ, and that's where the only true happiness comes, from placing your full sufficiency in Christ. The world and the church may have a lot of ideas on what means to be a great mother, a great grandma, a great sister, daughter, friend, but only the world, only the Word has the true blueprint for what those relationships are supposed to look like. And so we love you, Mom, and we're thankful for your impact in our life.
Our children are a reflection of us. Thanks, Ben. The good and the bad. John and I have asked God to allow our children to surpass us in their love for the Lord, and I know that that's the desire of all of our hearts in this room. I'm almost done, you guys. I want to talk just a little bit about being a friend. In Proverbs 17a, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. I have heard that you cannot have a friend if you are a pastor's wife, and I have never followed that advice. I have made friends, and this is the key. Find a friend who loves God more than you. If their sufficiency is in Christ, then they will free you up to serve others in the church. I want to depend on Christ more than I depend on a friend. And one more thought. I have loved friends that are happy for me to spend time with other friends. How selfish of us to be jealous when our friend is spending time with another person's friend. What a great joy for them to see what other people love in us and vice versa. So don't be selfish. Okay, Grandma, this is the end. Oh my goodness. I love being a grandma. 2 Timothy 3:5, and you know this verse already, I mentioned it, but for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. Timothy's heritage is an example for me to pass down my love for Christ to my grandchildren. Oh, how I love being a grandma, and of course I have pictures. Of course I do. This is our little pinhead. Yes, she is so cute. This is our little galley. Oh, wait, that's two of them together. This is our little galley. And this is them together.
They probably need to hug each other in that.
Yeah. Okay. A fun fact about being a grandma. Susie is due this September 23rd. And Julie is due September 24th. So Susie will have a C-section, so we know that for sure. But, you know, this is Jules and David's first baby. So pretty fun when we found that out. Penelope. I just have one story about my little sweet Penelope. My most precious story about Penelope is one night, it was very, very late, and I was just falling off to sleep. And my phone was right next to my bed, and it starts to ring. And I don't even look to see who it is. And I just go, hello? And little Penny goes, Alma, can you tell me a story? And she had taken my daughter's phone. She had gone into her room, took the phone, looked at my picture, and pressed the button and called me. And Susie wakes up and hearing Penny talking to somebody. So even though it was like 11:30, I said, Susie, I gotta tell her a story. And it was such a heart melt. That was so cool. And then Dallas's little story is when he was here just the last time. You know how the trains go through all the time. Joyce knows that. And so I just thought, I'm sure a train's going to go through. So I got him in his car seat, and I took him down to Albertsons. We got out. I put him on my hip, and sure enough, there's a train. And it's like so close if you're standing in the Albertson Dairy Queen parking lot. And I just rocked his little world, and he's just going like this. And then we topped it off by going into Dairy Queen and sharing an ice cream. So that was pretty fun. So we are to teach them about our precious Savior. That is our responsibility. Our children and our grandchildren belong to God. We are to reflect Christ to them. We are to reflect Christ to others. That is our role as women, mom, grandmas, and great-grandmas. Be humble, be kind, be a servant, be a true friend. Love your God, love your husband, honor him, respect him, love your kids, grandkids, but love God more than anything. And Joni already sang that song, but if you could take that home, it's so precious. The words there are very precious. And so thank you so much, you guys.